Christmas, everybody. Not quite Christmas, but you know what? We are in that holiday season. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. We're glad to have y'all here this morning. Will you bow your heads as we open up with a word of prayer? Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, for your many, many blessings. God, I thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus, who you sent to this world. And during this season, we celebrate his birth and you sending him to earth to be that ultimate sacrifice for our sin, God, to save us all. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that. Lord, I praise you for this church. I praise you for your body that's gathered here this morning, God. I pray anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us as we worship you, and we learn from you, and hear what you have to say to us this morning, God. I thank you and I praise you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Hey, Pam. Baptism first. Yep. Thank you. Y'all may be seated.
This is a wonderful day we have planned here for the service at Open Door Baptist Church. I've been listening to Mike with the worship. I know what's coming with the children. I've heard them for the last few weeks, and it's going to be great. But also today we get to celebrate with a baptism, and that's always a wonderful day. Amen.
Amen.
And then we also have a little surprise coming right before I preach, so that we're going to celebrate in another part of the service as well. But today we have with us Amanda Stevens. Amanda, we'll ask you to come on down. Now, not a lot of people know Amanda just by Amanda. Everybody knows Amanda because of?
Craig.
Look at that! Listen, Donna, that's Larry's wife, so that's her identity now. Right? But no, Amanda, it is great to have you here. And Amanda, I've gotten to know you over the past few months, but almost a year. Yeah. But it's been a real joy. And if you don't know Amanda, you need to get to know her because she is a very positive person. She has a lot of joy in her. So, but Amanda has come to grow in the Lord. I know that she's always believed in the Lord for a long time anyways. But your faith has kind of really taken off recently. And so you decided you wanted to start making some moves in your spiritual walk and your faith. So one of those is baptism. And so we've come now to the point of where you're going to identify yourself with Jesus Christ. Now we know that this does not save you. You either saved before you come in here or you're not. If you're not saved when you come in, you're not saved when you go out, okay? So we know that salvation comes through belief and trust in Jesus Christ. So I need to ask you, do you believe and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
I do.
You do. Have you prayed and to ask him to forgive you of your sins and ask him to come and dwell in your life and in your heart?
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Well, Amanda, upon your profession of faith, in your belief in Jesus Christ, I'm now going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And that's Amanda. All right. God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, just another quick announcement as Pam comes up this morning. We are going to do some Christmas caroling today, and just to be sure you all are clear, we are not going inside the nursing home whatsoever. We are going to be outside. We're not going to be in contact with any of the staff, any of the residents. We're going to be outside. They know we're coming. And we're just going to be walking around to the windows of the different rooms and singing Christmas carols and giving the love of Jesus that we have to the residents there in that nursing home at Brightwood this morning. We're having pizza downstairs. If you want to, even if you haven't told me, hey, I'm coming, you can come on. I'm sure we got enough food downstairs for you too. So just hang with us after church downstairs. We'll grab a quick bite to eat and we'll head out to do that. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Pam.
Good morning. Because of your generous giving last week, we have almost $650 towards our Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal of $4,000. In your bulletins, there's an insert that talks about the ways in which money is given to Lottie Moon is used. For example, $2 would buy a tube of henna. Henna is a type of skin dye that is used to draw patterns on hands and feet. But they can also use that to illustrate five gospel stories. $6 would buy a USB with gospel in sign language. $8 would buy a Facebook boost to publicize an evangelism event. $10 would buy a USB for unreached deaf peoples. $10 would also buy a Bible in a local language. It a little bit makes a big difference. So if you would like to give today, those of you here in the sanctuary, there are envelopes in the pews in front of you. Those of you who are in the fellowship hall, there are envelopes in the chairs behind you. And those of you online can go to the Open Door Giving page and click on the Add Donation button to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And now we're going to watch a short video. Thank you.
Here in Thailand, there are so many people who don't know God, and no one they know knows God.
Thai people have a desperate desire to get rid of the sin that they know they have. They're going to the temples and they're taking money and gold and flowers and anything they can do that they think is good that might erase the sin that they know that is inside them.
My calling to be a doctor and calling to be a missionary came on the same day. When a missionary came and spoke at our church, he said the line, the saddest thing I've seen after 35 years on the mission field is children sick and dying because there's no doctor to care for them. And it was a lightning bolt through my soul. And I said, okay, God, I'll be a medical missionary.
Our ministry here takes mobile clinics all over the country of Thailand. Church planners call me up and say, I'm trying to start a new church or there's never been one, would you come and help me? Medicine is just a means for me to share the gospel with those who have no other access. When I talk about how to take care of their physical needs, it's just so easy for them to see when I start talking about their soul that they need a savior as well. And American churches have partnered with me in that. And they have sent me short-term mission teams that come with me for about a week every month. And we go out and do mobile clinics all over the country. Without the churches coming alongside me, I cannot do what I do. In general, people here do not like talking about spiritual things. But on mobile clinic, we can talk to 100 people in a day, 200 people, 300 people in a day that will come to mobile clinic. And there we can share Christ with so many people at one time. It makes mobile clinic a great avenue for sharing the gospel. The point of mobile clinics is to start churches, groups of Thai believers that will go on to grow people in their new faith, to disciple them in their understanding of who Christ is, and to grow them together into groups that will become churches. There's a lot of things that money can't buy. Being able to be here and see God praised where he has never been praised before. That is a dear joy. Seeing souls saved in areas where no one has ever known God before. Watching them grow in their faith and lead others to faith. And watching them grow together into churches. Seeing churches start where no one has ever worshiped God before. Money can't buy that.
Some of the ministry that you were. work is, or your money is going towards as you give to the Lot Eman Christmas offering. Well, we have a special treat for y'all. You can remain seated. You can feel free to sing along with the kids. Kids have been working on a nice Christmas song they want to share with everybody this morning. Wonderful job those kids did, right? Amen. How many of you guys like to hear them come back and maybe next week lead us all to worship service next week, huh? Yeah. I think I'd like that too, right? All right. I think we'll plan on doing that. All right. We all please stand as we continue our worship this morning. His name shall be.
Song that rings so sweet and clear when heaven's light and music fell.
show the brightness of His smile, the glory of His face.
So glory in the highest, and on the earth be peace. Glory to God, the children sing. His name shall be called
for our salvation, other than our praise and our offering. Amen.
Why? Thank you. Good morning again. And welcome once again. And we have some more exciting stuff going on today. How was the children? Were they awesome or what? Yeah, amen. I did get to hear them from the back. I wasn't all the way in, but I was in the back. But I got to hear them several weeks in a row practicing, and I knew it was going to be a blessing. Our children are a blessing, aren't they? Amen? Amen. Okay, I come to another part of the service that I'm very, very excited about. And we have some candidates for membership today. So I'm going to ask these candidates to come forth, please. And just so you know who is coming forth, this is Amanda Stevens. And this is Charlie and Tracy McBride. And yes, very much so. And all of these have been coming for some time now. And have been speaking with me about membership for at least a few weeks anyway. So this morning is the morning that we're going to induct them into the membership of the church. So I'm just going to jump right on in there, and I've already talked to them. As anybody who joined this church knows, I've talked to you beforehand. So these questions I'm going to ask them, we've discussed them, and they understand the importance and what they mean and what they're agreeing to. So with that being said, Amanda Stevens, Charles McBride, and Tracy McBride, have you read and agree with the church's constitution and bylaws? Amen. Do you three agree to attend church regularly? Do you agree to support the church regularly through financial support? Can you start right now? No, I'm just kidding. Do you agree to find a place of service in this church over a reasonable amount of time? Yes. Do you agree to submit to the pastoral leadership of the church? Jump. No. Yeah, see, they didn't. They listened, right? You almost did. All right. Do you agree to allow the members of this church to hold you accountable in love according to God's holy word? If you agree, say, I will. Do you agree to love the church and to promote unity and fellowship among the believers? If you agree, say, I will. Have you read and do you agree with the Baptist faith and message? Yes. Amen. Okay, church, now it's your responsibility. I'm talking to church members here, and this is for the members of the church. Congregation of Open Door Baptist Church, do you recognize Amanda Stevens, Charles McBride, and Tracy McBride as a member of Open Door Baptist Church? If you agree, please stand. Amen. Open Door Baptist Church congregation, do you agree to love Amanda, Charles, and Tracy as a member of this church and make them feel welcome and accepted of this family? If you agree, say, I will. Do you agree, Open Door Baptist Church members, do you agree to hold Amanda, Charles, and Tracy accountable in love to God's holy word? If you agree, say, I will. Do you agree, Open Door Baptist Church, to be accountable to, now this is, you're opening yourself up now. Do you agree to be accountable to Amanda, Charles, and Tracy as members of this church? If you agree, say, I will.
I will.
Amen. Well, we'd like to be, I'd like to be the first to officially welcome you, and I'd love to come and give you all a hug. Welcome you to Open Door Baptist Church, and looking forward to your tenure here and your service here, and most of all, your love. So thank you for coming, and thank you for being a member. God bless. Amen. Well, you're a fine-looking group this morning. I do have to say the group sitting downstairs is much better looking, though. I mean, we have Haas, they have Zeke. Come on now. You know it's better looking downstairs. You know it's better looking downstairs, right? Well, amen. Well, listen, we're going to jump right in here this morning, and if you have your Bibles, you need to get them open to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. We are studying Revelation chapter 21 and 22 as we wrap up this little mini-series that we did on end times, and we'll wrap it up today, Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. And remember, this is John speaking here in this text. This is John speaking. And God shows John a vision of the end times that is going to take place. That's what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. And now John says here in chapter 21, verse 1, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Now may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word, and may the Lord please help me preach this to the best of my ability, and if I am not going to preach it accurately or rightly, he would silence me and not allow me to speak, but glorify yourself, Lord, in this. Now, last week I shared with you the exclusivity of heaven. Last week we learned that heaven for sure is an exclusive place. First of all, we have to get this, and it's, I know when you go to a funeral home, anytime you ever go, that no matter what, the person that died is in a better place, right? But according to Scripture, last week we learned that heaven is for sure an exclusive place, and it's not everyone gets in. It's exclusive in there. There's no form of sin. There's or practicing sinner will get in. But not only that, also Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 tells us this, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So again, here are some things that will be excluded from heaven. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. Actually, if you studied that out, I told you, it is not that he wipes away every single tear. He wipes away everything that would cause a tear. So that's even better, right? Now, if you missed that last week, you can go online to our website and listen to it. That was the exclusivity. Yeah. Say it. Yes, of heaven. And this morning now we come to this. There's a second thing, and the second thing is this, is the exceptionality of heaven. It's the exceptionality of heaven. Now pick it up in verse 10 of Revelation 21. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from God, having the glory of God. Now let me tell you something. That is what is exceptional about heaven right there. That verse right there is what is exceptional about heaven. That is what makes heaven heaven. And some of you are probably looking at it and say, oh well, I don't see anything that. Well, it's there. It's outstanding. It's not the city. It's not us. It's not all the other stuff that you read about. What makes heaven heaven is that God in all of his glory will be there. I want you to think about that for a second. God in all of his glory will be there. It is exceptional and it is beyond description, congregation. There are no words to describe it. What's the song say? It's too marvelous for words. Right? However, listen, it's going to be exceptional, and we will be there. And I want to show you what that means. In verse 14, we read this. It says, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. That means this, there's 12 foundations. If you know anything about building, foundation is where the stability of the building is. So this has 12 foundations, so there is great stability there. Meaning nothing is going to come along and that is going to rock your world or knock you off your course, right? And verse 12 says it had a great high wall, right? So that's security, right? So you got those two things there. You've got stability and you've got security. Security. So that means you never need to fear anything again. No person, no thing, no disease, praise God, right? No disease, not anything. It is secure, it is stable, it is firm. Verse 16, the city is laid out as a square. It means this, it means it has symmetry. That is, it has balance. It's very well planned, right? You know, when we think about our life gets out of balance, doesn't it? So often, more times than not, sadly, right? But life gets so out of balance at times. Your system can get out of balance at times. Your thinking can get out of balance at times. Church can get out of balance at times. Finances can get out of balance at times. I could just keep going on. There's a lot of things in our life that can get out of balance. But let me tell you something. Heaven will never be out of balance. It is secure. It is stable. There is symmetry there, right? It's by design. Now let me show you two other things, because I think in this apocalyptic language that's being spoken here, John is painting us a picture here, and it's all to do with the glory of God. That's the focus, the glory of God. Now listen to what it says in verse 19. It says, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kind of precious stones. And it lists 12 of those precious stones. And I did this in the funeral this last week, and I said, you know what? All these precious things, the things that are most precious, most valuable to us, it's nothing more than building materials in heaven. I want you to think about that. Think about gold. It's nothing more than asphalt and concrete in heaven. Look at that. So we got to get this. It had 12 kinds of precious stones. And notice, those stones are all translucent. That is, light can pass through them. They are beautiful. They are precious. They are indescribable. They give off this light like nothing we've ever seen. But 12 stones. 12 stones. 12 stones. Does that remind you of anything in the Old Testament? Like when the high priest would go in before the priest of God, before the presence of God on that day of atonement, he wore an ephod that had what? 12 stones. The high priest had this ephod on it, and it had 12 stones in it. It had four rows and three stones in each row. And each one of those stones represented a tribe of Israel. Well, these are the stones mentioned in Revelation 21. And what it was doing, is this. It was essentially bringing the people of God before the presence of God. That's what those stones on that priest meant. It was bringing the people of God before the presence of God for a few moments, one day out of the year. Can you imagine not being able to come into the presence of God except for a few moments, one day out of the year? That would be horrible, wouldn't it? Now, just keep that in mind, because you go back and look at the city, right? Go back and look at the city. The city is square. Well, it's really more than a square. It's a cube, actually. Look at what verse 16 says. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as the breadth, and the measured and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. That's about 1,500 miles. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. So let me ask you this. Is there anything else in the Old Testament that you know is a cube? The Holy of Holies, right? It's the Holy of Holies. It was where the presence of God resided. That's where that's where they went in to meet, right? God said, I will cause my presence to dwell here over the mercy seat in this cube that is right here called the Holy of Holies. Now, this is exciting. I'm telling you, this is exciting, because the whole of this is telling us that we are going to be in the presence of God. Listen, you should wake up. Our future holds for us to be in the literal presence of God. That's why you come and you read these words in verse 22. I saw no temple in it. So why was there a need for a temple in the Old Testament? Why was there even a need for a temple? Let me tell you why. Because sinful man could not come into the presence of the holy God. We can't do that. It was sin on us. It's not possible for us to stand in the presence of God with sin on us. You see, man had to bring a sacrifice and then give that sacrifice over to a Levite. And then the Levite would offer that up on the altar there in front of the holy place, in front of the Holy of Holies, right? He would give this sacrifice for his sin. And then only the priest could go into the holy place. And then only one priest, the high priest, could enter the holy place of holies. So there was this separation. This is what you got to see. There was all this separation that said, you've got to go through all of these things in order to get representation before me. But understand and praise God that when we get to heaven, there's not going to be a need for representation before him. I want you to get that. There's not going to be a need for a representation before him, for we are going to live in his presence without sin, Bema seat, without sin, no more curse. No more curse. We are going to be in the midst of his glory. And listen to what it says in verse 23. This should get you excited. Listen to what it says in verse 23. The city had no need of the sun, S-U-N, the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb, a lot of people read this, they say the lamp. No, the Lamb is its light. So you realize that in this place right now, where we're sitting at right now, that this is all artificial light. This is artificial light. All this light that surrounds us right now is all artificial light. And do you know that when you walk out of this place and you step into the sunshine out there, well, yeah, it's sunshining or we wouldn't see, right? If you step out in the sunshine, I want you to understand, it is then that you are stepping into created light. This is artificial light. That is created light, right? Okay? Look, all the stars at night are created light. Now hold on to this. All the stars at night are created light. The moon is illuminated by the sun, which is created light. And do you realize that when you step into the New Jerusalem, watch. Do you realize that when you step into the New Jerusalem, when you step out into that new heaven and that new earth and that New Jerusalem, we will be stepping out into eternal light for the very first time. Eternal light. We will be stepping into actual, uncreated brightness of Almighty God Himself. We'll be stepping out and into a city made of these jewels in so many various shades of color. Look, with that light hitting that and passing through, we will see in an array like anything, unlike anything that you could ever imagine, this side of heaven. I cannot describe it for you. It is going to be absolutely stunning. And some people think that that's going to be boring. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. You think that's going to be boring? A place this kind of splendor in the literal presence of the eternal light of Jesus Christ, the holy God himself? Oh, so listen, it will not matter. It will not be a matter of coming. Listen, there's a play on words here. It will not be a matter of coming into the presence of God like they did in the Old Testament. No, that's not what it's going to be. We will no longer come into the presence of God. Understand, we will dwell in the presence of God for eternity. We will dwell there. It's not coming. We will dwell there. That will be our home forever and ever. No getting out of it. No moving away from it. He will never go anywhere where God will never go anywhere where we will not be immediately right then be in his presence. We hear that often today. I can't feel God. I can't do this. I can't do this. Listen, that will never, ever happen again. Now, do you know what that refers to? It refers to constant fellowship with Him. It's a constant association and fellowship. It's an engagement with Him. But do you know what else it means? It means we are going to be there together. That's right, Hoss. Me and you. Me and you, Zeke, forever and ever and ever together. It means we're going to be there together. Have you ever stopped to think of the unimpeded fellowship with God we will have? I can't tell you. I can't describe it. But can you realize the unimpeded fellowship with God that we will have? And it will mean that we will have unimpeded, unobstructed fellowship with one another as well. All the walls will come down. All of the upset will be gone. All of the hurt will be gone. All of the jealousy, all of the snide remarks, all of the unkindness, all of the competitiveness that separates us, the selfishness and the self-centeredness that we experience in relationships. Let me tell you something. It will all be gone. I noticed it was mostly women that said that. And we will not only have perfect relationship. Watch. We will not only have perfect relationship. There will be perfect community and fellowship among the people of God. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen. Don't you wish that we could just try it for a little bit right now? Wouldn't that be awesome, church? Amen? Because let me tell you something. It is what the world is hungry for. This is what the world is hungry for. A community, a perfect community and fellowship among the people of God. This is what the world is hungry for and longs for. And listen to me, I'm going to go to this part. They're starved for it. To be in a fellowship of God's people where people are not competitive, where people are not self-centered, where people are giving and loving and expressive of their love to one another, people who are transparent. Let me tell you something, church. That is what people truly long for. They want to come into this place and not have somebody judge them. And when the world see it among us in here, they'll want to know, why in the world are going on with those people? Why are you guys like that? That's not natural. No, it's not natural. It's divine from a holy God, right? And it's a perfect way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It really, truly is. It's a perfect way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you the last thing, and it's this. I want you to see the eternality of God's love. The eternality of God's love. Not just the exclusivity, not just the exceptionality of heaven, but also the eternality of God's love. Look at chapter 22. Normally, when we come to chapter 22, this is basically... all that anyone ever quotes. These are very famous verses out of here. Chapter 22, verse 18. We all know this, right? It says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." And all of this is the way that we think God's word ends. That's how when we read this, when we read through this book and we get down to the last chapter, we think that this is the way that this word ends, that this is the way God's word ends. The amazing thing to me is this, and studying this week, is that all of this... Just go with me back to verse 10 of Revelation 22. But all of this is in an expression of God's love. We look at it as a very harsh warning. But let me tell you, all of this is an expression of God's love. Look at verse 10. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Listen, I want people to hear this. If you're sleeping, wake up. I want you to hear this. For the time is at hand. What the Lord was saying to John is this. Listen, I want this to be preached. Don't seal it up. He's saying, listen, I want this to be preached. I want you to talk about this. I want you to share this. Don't seal it up. Don't hold this just for you two or three or you four. He says, verse 10, the time is near. Verse 12, the time, verse 10, the time is near. Verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Now, some versions have this. Blessed are those who wash their robes. But blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. He's saying this. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, oh, come and have your sins washed away. You see what he's saying here? Go tell, go preach, don't withhold this, go, don't seal it up, go. He says, you come, he says, and have your sins washed away. Put on these white garments that speak of righteousness. Come and eat of the tree of life. Come into the city of God. I don't know if you see it or not, but this is an appeal. It's an evangelistic appeal in the very last chapter. The last words of God in his book is an appeal. Come to me. Come to me. Look, listen, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Now we know who the Spirit is. Who's the bride? We are the church, right? That is us, you and me. And we are to be calling people to come. And let him who hears, right? Let him who hears, are you hearing? He let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. He says, come. It won't cost you anything. Just come, come, come. It's a plead. Come. Don't seal this up. Tell them to come. In the last words of Scripture, God the evangelist is giving the invitation. And look at the last verse spoken by our Lord. Look at the last verse spoken by our Lord, verse 21. The grace. 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 The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Grace. That's how it ends. That's the word grace. Come. God's offering you grace. Come. Come. It's free. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to me. He's saying, look, I've just showed you everything that I have for you. I have all of this for you and more. I have more than you can imagine. I can't even write it all down. I can't even put it into words. I got all this for you. You come. 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 It will be a great place. He's describing it for us. It will be a great place with great joy, a great peace, great love, great fellowship, great celebration, great rejoicing in the presence of the Savior. You're going to be with me. That one who hung. The one who was born in the manger. That went to the cross. This is the completion of that gift. Come. That's the completion. You come. Now church, that's the invitation. And I want to close. And explain to you why I have preached this. Now I want you to listen to me. Listen, you don't have to worry. You're going to get to dinner early today. It's my Christmas gift to you. But I want you to listen to this. And I'm closing. I'm serious. I'm done. On February 19th, 1942, the Japanese bombed Darwin Base in Darwin, Australia. But when the men came out of their tunnels and out from under the sandbags, after the Japanese bombers were going to do what they were going to do, they heard this whimpering. And so they went over and they found that a dog had been wounded that was under some rubble. Well, they dug the dog out. They dug him out and gave him a name. They called him Gunner. And they took him to the medic, and the medic set his leg. He had a broken hind leg. And so the medic set his leg. And after that, the dog just followed these soldiers, the ones who cared for him and was looking after him. He just began to follow them around. He was just doing what a dog does, right? Just being faithful to the master, right? And a few days after they had done that, after they had set his leg, a few days after that, the dog started going nuts. Just going crazy. He just became erratic. He was barking. He was running in circles. He took off and he ran up under something that would shelter him. Well, within 20 minutes, the Japanese was bombing Darwin Base in Darwin, Australia once again. Well, again, a few days later, the same thing happened. The dog started barking and he went nuts and he was running around in circles and squealing and carrying on and scratching, and then he took off and he flew under something that would shelter him. And again, within 20 minutes, the Japanese bombed yet again. Now, they did what you've already done. Those soldiers did what you've already done. They put two and two together. That dog could hear Japanese bombers before they ever showed up. That dog could hear Japanese bombers before they ever showed up. In fact, he could hear Japanese bombers 20 minutes before they showed up. Now, radar was new in that day and time, but Gunner could hear the bombers before they ever showed up on the radar that they had. He knew. And those soldiers there at that base in Darwin, Australia, began to plan everything around what this dog was doing. Because what this dog was doing was saying, you better get to cover quick. That's what he was saying. They're coming. You better get to cover quick. Now, the amazing thing is this. He didn't do that when he heard American planes come by. He didn't do it when he heard British planes come by. He only did it with the Japanese bombers. Would he respond that way? Now listen to me closely, folks. Put your gunner ears on. You hold in your hands the holy word of God. And I've given you several messages now of what is to come from God's word. Not mine, but God's. And you can hear what the world cannot hear. Therefore, you know what the world has no clue about. You know what the world has no clue about. You know what's coming. Not by me, but by Him. Therefore, in faithfulness to your master, you need to be telling people around you about Jesus Christ. You know the danger? You know the danger that's coming. You hear it coming. You feel it coming. You don't just sense it. You hear it coming. You feel it coming. You've got the reliability of the Word of God you've got it in your hands. Are you talking to anybody about Jesus coming? Are you talking to anybody? He's coming. He's coming. Church, I say this. We should be telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ as if there is only 20 minutes left. That urgent. We should be running like mad dogs with what we know is coming. Why am I telling you this? You know, it all comes down to 25, 30 minutes of me talking to you to giving you a sermon. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because of what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God say? Do not seal up these words. Church. Church, do not seal up these words until the Lord arrives. Do not seal up what you know that they don't know. Do not seal up these words. Let's stand. If you're here this morning, the invitation is for you. You need to come to Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Him, you come. Come now, while you can. Come now. If you can hear God speaking to your heart this morning, then listen, I'm inviting you to come to Jesus. I'm saying what the Spirit and the Bride say, come. I'm saying to the one who hears, Jesus says, come. Come to Jesus. He loves you with a love that I can't begin to describe to you. He has a heaven for you. An indescribable place. He has a heaven for you. A place that is waiting just for you. A place where true healing will take place. A place of beauty. Great rejoicing. A place of peace, of joy, and love. Place will look up on His face in all of His glory. He says, come. Come. I'm inviting you to come. So right where you're standing, you can come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to ask You to forgive me of my sins, and I believe, Jesus, that You died on the cross for me. And I believe, Lord Jesus, that You were raised from the dead to give me eternal life. And I place my faith and trust in You. Right now, I place that in You. I'm going to ask everybody just to bow their heads just for a second. I'm not holding this out. If you believe what I just said by faith, that Jesus is the only way that your sins can be forgiven through His life, death, resurrection, His work of the cross. If you believe that by faith and by God's promise in His Word, not by me, but by His promise in His Word. Listen, if you believe and trust in that, just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand. Amen. I see it. Amen. Anybody for the very first time, slip up your hand. I see it. I see it. I got you. I see it. I see that one. Amen. Listen, we're going to sing here in just a second. This is what I want you to do. Don't wait. Just as soon as Mike starts singing, as soon as that happens, I just want you to do this. This is just what I want you to do. I just want you to come up to me up here and look at me and say, I believe and trust. That's all I want you to do. Just say, I believe and trust. That's what I want you to do. I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to keep you. I just want you to tell me, I believe and trust. And if you want more information after that, if you want somebody to pray with you, you come and I will do that with you. Also remember this, and let me tell you this. this world cannot keep going the way it's been going. It can't. We all know and can sense this, and we know that there's coming a day when God will say, enough! And He will call His bride away. And I don't want you to be left behind. I don't want you to suffer God's wrath. So if you slipped up your hand, you just need to make it public. Just come up to me. Don't just come up and say, listen, I believe and trust that you can just keep on going. But respond to His call. Don't wait. Respond to His call. Respond to His eternal love. As the Word of God said, you come. You come. Lord Jesus, have your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Thank you, and I would normally have the new members go back, but we're not going to do that. But listen, wave at them from a distance. Tell them thank you from a distance, and welcome them here at Open Door Baptist Church. And Amanda, God bless you for being baptized, and I pray that the Lord's favor be upon you. And all of you as well, that the Lord's favor will be upon all of you. And I know that this season is kind of crazy, and people are saying, it doesn't even feel like Christmas. It does feel like Christmas. You say, well, how does it feel like Christmas? We got wreaths up. We got poinsettias out. I mean, come on. So listen, God bless you all. Thank you for being here. And may the Lord take you and his mercy and grace be upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. God bless you and thank you for coming. You're dismissed.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.